Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? It's Strikeout Bros, episode 4 of the season 2. Check it out. It's me, Elisha, and tonight's episode is going to be a little crazy because, you know, I'm a diehard Mets fan. I don't want to, you know, keep bringing up the Mets and saying, oh, this is a, you know, a Mets podcast. It's not, but the Mets are relevant right now. You got to understand, like, best ERA in baseball, best record in baseball, best everything in baseball right now. We're doing everything. We're not hitting the ball the way I would like, but the pitching is phenomenal. You know, the bullpen is great. Diaz is having problems. Let's see what happens. But what's good, Lash? Let's talk about it, baby. How you doing?
Yeah, so you know the way this podcast goes, you know, we talk about what the hottest team is or the hottest commodity. That's the way it is. It just happens to be the Mets. So we'll start off the show with the good news and the good teams that are doing well, and then we'll end the show with the bad news and the bad team, which is the Orioles. But yeah. It's always good to start off on the right foot, so let's start with the Mets. They've been amazing. I watched today's game, and man, that pitcher, I know you want to give Marte the credit, but that pitcher saved Diaz's butt because Diaz got hurt, and then was it Budo, I think was his name?
Budo.
And he just saved the day. So I got to take my hat off to him more than the offense, but you might disagree.
Now, listen, you know, I'll give the game to Alonso because Alonso was the guy that got to hit to tie the game, you know. But Alonso's been a machine, you know, and we're going to talk about Alonso's numbers in a few. And we're going to keep comparing because, you know, last week we started comparing Soto's numbers, Alonso's numbers, and, of course, the other guy across the street, Aaron Judge's numbers, because Soto happened to say that, you know, he was getting better pitches to look at when he was batting in front of Soto. And we're going to compare, you know, whether or not Judge is declining. And we're going to compare what Alonso's doing this year, which is incredible. It's just amazing. Nobody can explain what's happening right now. You know, I have an idea. You know, I have my thoughts on the subject and the Soto deal. And is it working? And people say it's not. But I definitely say it is. And Alonso's capitalizing. That's all I have to say. But this pitching staff is pretty amazing, Lasha. Like, all right, it's funny. It's like, you know, I wanted Baltimore to be up there as well, you know, and I wanted them to be able to take over that division and say, this is ours for a while, and you guys are going to have to do amazing things to, you know, get over, you know, our little war here. But it doesn't seem like it's the case this year. It's funny. It's because of the pitching.
For now,
you know, I mean, you keep saying that, but it's not early.
Early gets late, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Early gets late real quick, especially in the division.
Starting to get late early.
Yeah, starting to get late early. Yeah, you have to really figure it out. You understand that? You guys only won one series against Cleveland this year. One series, all right? That's insane.
Yeah,
that's insane. Okay, you can't. And the pitching has been atrocious. All right, you have to figure it out now. You know, we have problems down there. All right. And it seems like it's a bust and the window is closing too. That's the problem. All right. You have to realize that because the Dodgers keep, you know, they could continue to run it. San Diego looks like they're a force to be reckoned with. Wow. San Francisco looks amazing. You know, there's a lot of teams that look like they want to go for a ride.
Yeah.
And, you know, once they figure it out.
American League, you know, the Yankees is there. The Red Sox are.
Yeah, the Red Sox have all the pitching. You know, they have all the pitching. They don't have a pitching problem, all right? Once they figure it out and they get, acquainted and it warms up, because it's cold over there too. Once it warms up, you know, those balls are going to fly and things are going to change over there too. So I'm thinking Boston for that division right now. Unless you guys. You know, I don't know what you guys have to do. That's your job. You tell me. You tell me. Because, you know, we have a lot to talk about the Mets and stuff and all this, you know. It's all nice and stuff over there right now. But I want to hear about this stuff right here. I want to hear about what you have to say about what your team's problem is, right? And I have some stats here as well, you know, and I can refer to those because I don't really know. You know, I'm deep into my team right now and I focus on who they're playing next and what their strengths are, you know? That's how I look at things, you know, on a weekly. Two teams a week, and I keep it straight like that so I can focus, you know? And
well,
it's like...
the Orioles starting staff has the highest ERA in the majors. Well, in the world, they're the number one worst starting rotation ERA.
Yeah, they do. It's at 5.63.
Like, yep, Charlie Bourne himself alone has... 10.13 ERA, and they give him $10 million for 1 year. He's been a bust.
That's crazy. But listen, in the last three games, your ERA has been 12.12, right? In the last game, it was 6.75, all right? At home, your ERA is 6.39. Away, it's 4.79, okay?
It's weird. They play better on the road than at home.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? And then the Mets... 2.37. Yeah, 2.37. In the last three games, 3.0. Last game, 1.0. Home, 2.08. We're 12-1 at home, brother. We, you know what I'm saying? 12-1, all right? And away, we 2.66. All right, so we're doing some quick. The Padres are right there, 2.77. Last three, 2.77. Last one, 0. And at home, 1.30. Wow. And away, 4.65. Okay. So, like, that's just crazy. Okay. The pitching is, you know, keeping us in games. And, you know, we're not hitting the ball well right now. But when we do hit the ball, you know, the pitching is so good that those little runs, they make a big deal. They cause a problem for the opposing team because they can't hit the ball at all. So, if we scratch 2-3 runs, the game is ours. Pretty much, you know?
Yeah. Which is great because, you know, the Mets offense is, they're not the potential level that they can be. But if they do and when they do get there, it's going to, and the pitching stays as the top of the is right now, the Mets are going to run away with the NL East without a problem.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. It shouldn't be a problem with what Alonso's doing right now. If he can continue to do that, and I know everybody's thinking, man, let's just, you know, get on this train and let's see how long, you know, it can go for before it breaks down. But I don't think it's going to break down, especially with Soto in front of him. Like I said, you know, people think that, you know, Soto batting there isn't working out, but it is for Alonso because Alonso's seeing the pitches, all right? And if Soto can get on base by walking, which is what he does, you know, he has a better walk to strikeout ratio, you know? So.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If he can get on base, boom, we're good to go because Alonso's going to hit it. Exactly. Alonso's going to hit it, and we're going to get some RBIs going for Alonso, right? And this is why Alonso right now is batting 349 with 6 home runs, 25 RBIs, okay? Like, are you crazy? Like, let me explain something to you. This man has 10 doubles. I believe he has 11 doubles. He has a triple, all right? He has 14 walks and 15 strikeouts, okay? This is in 86 at-bats, all right? He's incredible. He's projected this year to hit 41 home runs, get 7 triples, 68 doubles, 203 hits, all right? And 169 RBIs at this rate, and have 95 walks and 101 strikeouts, okay? That's insane, okay? I don't know. That's what he's projected to do. And if I think he's going to do even better than that. I think he's going to do even better than that. That 1-2-3 is pretty dangerous, and it comes back around pretty quickly. They're batting 5 times a game at this point, you know? And they're not hitting the ball well. They're leaving men stranded on base, too. They're doing a lot of that. Today, they did a lot of that. But, you know, we were able to scratch it out, and we got a double sweep. And that's not an easy double sweep. It was a 4-game series against the Cardinals. That's right, baby. And then, you know, we had to play the mighty Phillies, who were up there as well. You know, prior to coming down to see us, we had lost 2 games in a row to Minnesota, lost that series. That was the second series we've lost this season. Came back home, swept the Cardinals in a 4-game series, then came back around and swept the Phillies as well. That's 7 games at home in a row. You can't beat that. Now the Phillies are 5 games behind, you know? Just like that. Just like that.
Wow. Yep.
Okay? Just like that. And you know what the crazy part is? I hope that Chicago's winning right now, because they just took the lead in that Dodger game. They're going back and forth, but looks like Chicago doesn't want to quit. They won the game yesterday in extras, and it looks like they're going to win the game today as well. And they do that. That's a 2-game sweep. And guess who they're playing next? The Phillies. Oh, my God. Chicago's on fire, all right? The Phillies, their window's closing very fast, you know? Very fast. That's what I have to say. I'm going to take a look at this Dodger game for us right now. But we're going to talk about what your problem is over there. And I want you to play GM for me. So Chicago's winning right now, 7-6. The Dodgers were able to get another run and bring it in a little closer, right? So Chicago's about to bat up now, 7-6 in the 7th. Wow, it continues. And, you know, top of the 9th, this is the last chance for the Orioles. The Orioles, man, like as we said, they won one series this year against the Cleveland Guardians. And that's a pretty good team, by the way. So you beat those guys. You know, you guys are having trouble, you know, getting that 10th win of the season. And Washington has really good pitching, you know. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully you can scratch this one out.
Yeah. Here's the problem. There's 2 problems with the Orioles. One, they're you know, everyone has injuries. But you got plug and play, and the players that they're plugging in the rotation are just not working out. And then the other problem with the Orioles is they're a home run or nothing team. What do I mean by that? The only way they win games is when they hit home runs. When they don't hit home runs, they lose. It's not a way to go. You're gonna lose a lot of games. It doesn't work in the regular season, in the postseason either. But you can't make it to postseason if you can't score runs in the regular season. So those are 2 main problems. Now the problem I have with the GM is that you let Corbin Burns go, which is fine. If you don't want to give him that money, fine. But why didn't you get, you know, maybe Dylan Cease or some other guy, or go get Garrett Crochet? The Red Sox did that. Or go get a contract. Now, it's not too late to get the other 2 guys ceasing on contract, but
I think it's a little too late to get Cease. You're not going to get Cease this year.
You won't get Cease because they're in the playoffs, or in the running for the playoffs.
I mean, saying it's a, you know, the season just started, but you know, you have to understand, like you keep saying that it's time, right? But the Padres, they like themselves right now, you know? They're having a good time over there. So Cease ain't going anywhere. And the crazy thing is that it's like the same way with Ohtani. When Ohtani was with Anaheim or whatever you want to call them over there, they kept him for the last year. They kept him and they let him go, and they got nothing for him. They could have easily traded him, you know, at the trade deadline and gotten some pretty good prospects for a team that was in the hunt, you know? And then that team would have had to figure out a way to try to sign Ohtani during that offseason, you know?
Yeah.
So whoever was in, but whatever, they didn't do it. They kept them there. So same way with Cease. Now Cease is gonna stay there because they're gonna go on this run. Hopefully they're able to stay up there for as long as possible and dethrone, you know who. But the West is on fire right now. Yeah, and I feel like the West can take all the wild cards away from the East, because you know the wild card is usually like an East based thing. You know what I'm saying? It's usually the Braves, the Phillies, the Mets. You know, we're going to the wild card, and you know,
it was one of those three teams. Yeah,
exactly. You know, but it's not gonna be like that this year. This year's gonna be San Francisco, San Diego, the Dodgers, Arizona. The Mets, Arizona. You gotta be careful. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of options over there. Exactly. So the Phillies, they're gonna try to make it, but we'll see what happens because the West is tough.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting, but yeah, for Baltimore, they you know, now this is what bothers me. They knew that they were getting some starters back that were starters last year, Tyler Wells and Kyle Bradish, and Tyler Rogers, who they traded for from Miami. Those guys were already on the IL before the season even started, but those guys aren't coming back until mid season, maybe after the All-Star break. And then the other guy is Grayson Rodriguez. He started the year, but then he got hurt. He's on a rehab assignment. Then he got re-hurt again recently. So he's probably not going to come back till after the All-Star break, in my opinion.
Who's this?
Grayson Rodriguez.
Okay, gotcha.
Ace now with Burns being gone.
Eflon
got hurt. He's the other guy we got. So, but I'm not going to make excuses. It sounds like I am, but.
No, it's not about that. It is what it is. It's right there in front of our eyes.
But. That's not my problem. My problem is they don't play well offensively. They're always out there trying to hit bombs, and teams aren't going to just give up cookies for you to hit. And it's just not going to work. And that's why they struggle. They can't score runs. They don't play small ball.
No, it's crazy.
And to be honest with you, on Baltimore, they only have like one or two like power hitters. Gunnar Henderson and
Mullins is hitting
like
the ball.
A line drive hitter. He does the small things, you know.
Okay, yeah, but
he leads the team in average and on base percentage.
Yeah, it's looking pretty bad, man. Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, if you don't hit home runs, you know, it's just like you're not going to get anywhere, you know?
Yeah, it's insane what's going on over there right now. And the last two games prior to today's, they were outscored 31-2, okay? They lost a game to Cincinnati 24-2, right? And they lost another one last night to Washington 7-0.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And right now they're struggling to get this W.
They're losing 4-3.
And it's crazy. It's like, you know, like what's going on over there, right? They're not hitting the ball and their pitching is atrocious. It's pretty bad. And
yeah, I don't know. No, it's still cold in Baltimore, but that's just I think they need a new approach at the plate. And if I'm the hitting coach, you got to tell these guys, it's okay. You don't have to hit a home run. You don't have to be the lifesaver. The game is not decided on one at bat. You know, there's a reason why there's 9 innings, you know. You just got to take the pitch that given to you, hit him. You know, if they give you a wide open left side of the field, take it. Right side of the field, take it. You don't have to hit home runs and go crazy.
Yeah, but it's pretty crazy. Do,
and everyone's figuring them out, and they just lost now. So now it's
look at that. How much? What's that? How many of that?
Three in a row they lost? 2 in a row? Three in a row they lost. So, but hey, it's what it is. But if I'm the GM, I don't know if his seat's getting hot, but he's going to have to do something before the trade deadline because the trade deadline's getting far away and you can't afford to keep slipping and slipping and slipping. So the rotation is a big problem.
Yeah, so what would you do? Who are you firing? And what's your approach? How are you going to fix this problem as soon as possible? Let's say you have a week. Who are you calling? And who are you interested in, right? And who are you firing? Because you have to make a move like that. Is it the hitting? Are you firing the... There it is right there, guys. 4-3. Nationals beat Orioles, and then they play again tomorrow, right? And then they play the Mets. They already lost a series, but they play again tomorrow.
They're not going tomorrow either, Baltimore. I already know the starting pitcher is trash.
Well, we'll see what happens. This is crazy. Now, so who are you firing? Are you firing the hitting coach because they're producing runs, or are you firing the pitching coach? Or you can't really blame the pitching coach because of the injuries, and Charlie Morton's on the old side of things, you know? And
I'd put more pressure on the GM because you knew you lost your best starter and he did nothing to replace him. You just said, well, we'll stay in-house and see what happens. But you knew three out of your four pitchers were already gone from last year going into the season. So why don't you try to get anybody? Who am I going to call? I'm going to call Miami because, you know, Miami's going to want to get rid of Sandy Alcantara. They're not going anywhere. They're like, you know, that's the only team that's going to give somebody up.
And what are you giving up? Anything on the field? Anything field ready? Because, you know, they might want something ready.
They don't have any pitching prospects to give up. So you have to give up Kobe Mayo, Sam Basalo. And, I think maybe one more prospect. So you have to give up top three prospects. But then here's the thing. If you get a contract, you got to give him a contract right away. You can't just like, hey, let's do 2 years of controllability and let him walk.
Yeah.
Like they did with Burns. Burns was a one-year wonder. See, that trade doesn't look too bad because the guys that went to Milwaukee aren't all that great. Joey Ortiz and I forgot the name of the starting pitcher that went over there, but they're not lights out over there. They're okay, but they're not like Corbin Burns. But Sandy Alcantara, you're going to have to sign him because if you don't, you'll just be in another situation where you let Burns go. So I would go after him. That's the only elite pitcher I would want to see. Like you said, other teams that have starting pitching, they're right now either, you know, they're not at the stage. It's too early for most teams to sell. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Unless you're like the Colorado Rockies, you're 3-20, whatever your record is.
All right. What? How about the Athletics? You know, would you go after like a Severino if they happen to fall or, you know?
Yeah, I don't know about Severino.
You're not sure about Severino? Oh, that's how you feel about him? I think, yes. I mean,
he's not doing all that. He had a great year with the Mets, but he's not having that great of a year in Oakland or whatever, Sacramento. But
Sacramento,
anyway,
whatever.
I would go for one of the young starters that they have. I don't know who their starting rotation is, but.
I don't know, but right now to compete, you need a veteran, you know?
To compete, they need two starting pitchers right off the bat.
Yeah, exactly.
So you would have to get either a Michael King, Dylan Cease, or Sandy Alcantara Jr. Those are the three that I could just name off the top of my head. But you're not going to get the two out of three right now. So you could get Sandy Alcantara Jr. He's going to be a high commodity. You're going to have to give up a lot. But it's worth it if he's going to help your rotation. He'll be the ace of the rotation. And then maybe you could wait till the trade deadline and see if there's another team that has a starting pitcher that's, you know, gotten hot and, you know, maybe becomes a hot commodity. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just thinking name. Maybe something like a Seth Lugo, but that's not going to happen. But I'm just saying a pitcher of that caliber maybe become available that you could trade for that won't require a lot of prospects, a lot of assets you would have to give up to get him, you know? Maybe like a second-tier pitcher, you know? To me, like a Zach Eflin is like a second-tier pitcher. You know, things that someone like that is all you need. Someone that has good controllability, he's not going to be erratic. But the Orioles, they signed two 35-plus-year-old pitchers. And what do you think was going to happen? You know, the other guy, he's from Japan, so he doesn't know. But he's doing okay. Like, he pitched today. He only gave up one run, but they lost. But he's been their best pitcher so far, you know. But that's because the league hasn't figured him out yet. So right now, you need to get yourself starting because your bullpen is getting washed, is getting used like crazy. You can't even use they've only had one game where they brought in the closer and they had the lead. Other than that, they haven't had to use their closer at all, barely. So Batista's just sitting there, so they'll bring him in mop-up situations, but that doesn't and it's funny, you can tell when the Orioles hit home runs because if you look at the scoreboard and it's double digits, you know they hit a bunch of home runs. If you see single digits, there's a good chance they probably didn't hit a home run. So yeah. I think they need a different approach. So maybe get rid of the hitting coach and you get pitching. I wouldn't get rid of Michael Elias yet. yeah, maybe he's had one bad offseason, but and he didn't really do much. But that owner, that new owner, David Rubenstein, you know, he's given the carte blanche for the team to spend. And I think he might have a quick trigger finger if Elias doesn't do anything by a trade deadline or before. Because, you know, he paid a lot of money to run this team. And like you were saying, I don't know how far the windows are, how far the window to compete for a championship has gone down and how much of the window is left for them to win. Now, the thing is, all these guys are still under contract, but they're in talks with giving Gunnar Henderson and Ali Rutschman contract extensions, because you let those guys go, forget about it. You'll be back to square one again. And with a new owner, you don't want that. A new owner who's willing to spend and has the money to spend, he's not going to tolerate that.
I mean, do you think that's what it was? I mean, who knows? Who knows if there were conversations where they told the GM, you know what, we can't spend on pitching this year, all right? You're going to have to try to figure it out. What are we going to do? And then he said, well, okay, you don't want to spend. Then, you know, we have these guys coming back, you know, hopefully they can, you know, pull their weight. And it's not happening right now. So what do you think is happening now? You think the ownership is like, all right, now we need to really figure it out. We need to figure it out fast because we're sinking. We're sinking really fast. And obviously, even if we sink all the way down, we're not going to be sellers, you know, because all we have to do is fix our pitching and then we can just jump right back on the horse. And obviously, they need to figure out the hitting situation. So maybe a new hitting coach. I would get rid of the hitting coach. All right. I would get rid of the hitting coach. It's a quick, easy fix so the papers can have something to eat. Right. Well, unfortunately, the fans and the paper, the paper, obviously, listen, if this ain't working, you have to do something about it. If they're not hitting, all right, the pitching it's horrible. Right. But at the same time, guess what? They're not hitting either. So if they're not hitting either, you're going to have to figure it out. You have to fire the hitting coach, get someone else in there. So at least they can compete in games. You know what I'm saying? If they're getting 8 runs average per game because their hitting is, you know, going in the right direction and the pitching is horrible, at least they can compete in the game somehow. You know what I'm saying? Some way. Like the Yankees, you know? So let's fire the hitting coach and let's keep an eye on that for the next couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure it'll happen. Somebody has to get fired.
I'm hoping I just think the bats are also cold too. Because like even when they, you know, it's not like,
But it's not colder. No, man, I want to hear that. It's not. It's colder in Philly. It's colder in Boston. It's colder in New York. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but I don't like hear I said, it. Everyone's struggling to hit. It's not just the Orioles. Well,
yeah, the Yankees. Right, it's colder. Struggling. It's colder at Yankee Stadium. They won 15 games. You know, they won 15 games, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. And but they scored. You know, this is the thing, all right? So we all say, oh, the Yankees don't have any pitching, right? But they scored 137 runs. You know what I'm saying? And they only gave up 106 versus you guys. You guys only scored 98, right? And allowed 125. Okay. So you're losing games by runs, right? So this is a problem. But that's funny, right? You only scored 98, right? Then you have a team like the Indians, who only scored 96, right? But they have 14 wins, and they're only half a game out of the race behind the Tigers, right? That's crazy. And they only allowed 101 runs. So they pretty much kept the games pretty close, right? If you think about it, this is what happened. You got to figure it out. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, so like I said, pitching is the biggest problem. Starting rotation, then so what happens is that when your starting rotation doesn't come to it, you burn through your bullpen, and then your bullpen becomes weaker and weaker because they're being used all the time. And then by the time you know July comes, now you have two things that are depleted, and then it's like you only have so much you can trade for. So by then you're gonna have to either be sellers or buyers. But right now, what, they're five games under 500. They keep losing. They got to do something sooner rather than later, like within a week or so. I would need to, because all those other pitchers, Tyler Wells, Kyle Brash, is not coming back till like July. By then, you'll be out of the playoffs. You'll definitely be out of the playoffs if you keep going the way they are. So if they don't want to be out of the playoffs and they want a chance, then you're going to have to trade get a starting pitcher. So
yeah, you need more than one.
Trade for a starting pitcher. Get a second. Get a first tier pitcher like Alcantara. Get a second tier pitcher. I don't know who would that be. Someone from Sacramento. You know.
Somebody. You need something. Not at San Diego.
Or, you know, they just called up a guy from the, you know, his name is Young from the minors. He had a great outing against the Reds. I don't know if he's the answer, but who knows? Maybe they can find a diamond in the rough. That's what I would do too. Well, if we're losing, let's just start trying our prospects that we have in the farm system. See if they can pitch. You know, who knows? Maybe they can find lightning in the bottle that way too. Because then you only have to get one star pitcher with you, and then you don't have to give a lot of assets.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Starting rotations, but do it sooner rather than later. That's what I would do. And then I wouldn't fire anybody until the season's end. If once the season's over, now you got to say, okay, all right, Michael Elias, you're not the GM for now. It's not working. You're gonna have to go, or Brandon Hyde, you're gonna have to go, or you get rid of both the hitting coach and the pitching coach. You know, it could be both of them. It could be the issues, both the hitting coach, and then now you have to get a new pitching coach. But they got new staff this off season. They got a new bench coach. They got some other guys. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
so,
it's crazy.
It's crazy, man. Look, I'm looking at the standings already. I know it's pretty early, but you have to start to notice the patterns, all right? Okay, so like American League East, right? You got the first three teams in that division. They're still, you know, in a pretty decent race where, you know, after all these games, because, you know, you have to understand 25 games just went by already, you know? 25 games. That's a lot of games, all right? That's just not, you know, that's a good sample of what's going to happen, okay? Like, and if everybody that's doing what they're doing right now stay consistent, you know, but you can start to see the patterns already, you know? So, you see that, you know, Boston is right behind the Yankees, one game out, which is definitely not where they were last year. It wasn't looking like that. You know, this is something that, you know, they did because they wanted to make sure that what happened last year doesn't happen again this year. And they have the pitching, and they got stronger in a lot of different areas. And I'm excited about the Boston Red Sox, definitely. And the reason why I'm excited about that is because they are a team that can definitely knock the Yankees out the box, you know, this year. And like we said, if Baltimore can figure it out, then they'll be in the race as well. But right now, Toronto is 2.5 games out of that, right? So Boston's one game out, and Toronto's 2.5 out from the Yankees. So it's a nice little race. Then you have, you know, Baltimore at 4.5 and Tampa Bay at 5. 4.5 and 5, those aren't hard numbers to work with, you know? But if you keep playing the way you do now, then forget about it. 4 is going to turn into 8, 8 to, you know, 12, and then, you know, the rest of that is history, right? So then you have the Central. Same type of deal, right? You have Detroit, you know, having a great year, early campaign, right? And then you have the Guardians at half a game out at 14 and 10. Detroit's at 15 and 10. Then, you know, the next team behind them is Kansas City. They're 10 and 14 at 4.5, you know. They still have a shot. They're playing good baseball. Let's see what happens, you know. Minnesota, Chicago, they only won 8 games this year, and they're 6 and 9 games out, so forget about that, you know. You already know those guys ain't going anywhere. They're done. All right, then you have the West.
Yeah, it's going to come down to Cleveland and Minnesota.
Exactly. You think it's going to come down to Cleveland and Minnesota? No, I think it's going to come down to KC and Cleveland.
Well, yeah, we'll see. KC. But yeah. KC, yeah, I'll go with KC Pie as the better option.
Yeah, I think KC is better option, you know. And then you have in the West, you have Texas, right? Texas has a 14-9 record, right? And behind Texas, them is Seattle. Seattle, you know, last year they were showing you signs, you know. So they're 12-11 and they're 2 games back. Houston is as well, same record, 12-11, 2 games back. The Angels, surprisingly, they're at 500, 11-11, 2.5 games out. Surprise, right? But it's funny it's funny how it's working out, you know. So that's a 4-team race, and you know Sacramento, that's what I'm gonna call them, 10-13. They're 4 games out. That's not that bad. So that whole division is still, you know, fighting for something. I like that. The division is still fighting for something. Now, you know, we're gonna go to the National League East where things get a little, you know, they change a little bit. You know, So the Mets, 18-7, best record in baseball, least amount of losses in the league. You know, obviously, it kind of makes sense, right? 12-1 at home. Away, we're at 500, 6-6, right? But we've scored 105 runs, but only allowed 69 runs, all right? And I think that's tops in baseball right now. It is. I think second is like San Diego at 74, I think, or something like that. Mm. Yeah, it's something crazy like that. But, you know, the pitching is phenomenal, so we're not allowing people to score. And, you know, that's a seven-game win streak. And 8 out of the last 10. You know, we're playing phenomenal baseball. And the Phillies, who were playing phenomenal baseball right prior to meeting the Mets, are now at 5 games back, all right, after that series, which is crazy because right behind them, the team that nobody expected to be anywhere is the Marlins at 6.5, all right? Then Washington follows, and then the Braves with 7.5 games back. The Marlins are in a dangerous territory right now. Okay, and the fact that the Marlins are even at that, you know, above Washington and Atlanta, when Washington has pitching and Atlanta just has pitching problems, you know, so it's like, it's weird. But I don't know. I think Phillies is in trouble right now, you know. They won 4 out of the last 10. They lost 4 in a row because they lost the last game prior to coming to New York. So, and, you know, you have to understand the Phillies, they play better teams, you know. So does that make them the better team? They played the Dodgers. They were able to beat them. They split a series with San Francisco. They played some good teams. But look what happens, you know? And then Chicago. Chicago in the Central is crazy.
Oh, Chicago's been great, man.
Oh, my God.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, they're definitely fun to watch. 6 out of the last 10, you know? They're above 500 at home and, you know, away. You know, they scored 156 runs in, you know, 25 games. That's pretty crazy. And they allowed 114. But they look good, man. And the Milwaukee Brewers are right there with them, 13-11, a game and a half out, you know, playing really good. They had 500 in the last 10, but they're playing good ball. And even Cincinnati's still there at 3 games back, you know, so that's a tight little race. And St. Louis, you know, they got smoked 4 games in a row at Citi Field. That's another 5 games back. But prior to that, I'm pretty sure they were in the race. But, and Pittsburgh's not going anywhere. You know, they're 9-15, but whatever,
dude,
you know.
They need to get rid of Paul Skeens.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but that's not going to happen, bro. I don't think so. That's their cash cow right there. You know, people come to the stadium to watch that boy pitch, and that would be a mistake on their part. San Diego, though, let's go to the West Side. The West Side is the most interesting side. I love the West Side right now. It's really happening over there, and I hope it stays like that for the whole season because everybody except for the Rockies is having fun over there. But that's okay. You know what? The Rockies, I'm not interested in the Rockies doing anything because I don't think they have what it takes. Exactly. But San Diego at 17-8. All right, at home record, 12-1. Same record that the Mets have, 12-1. 5-7 away, right? And they've only scored 103 runs and allowed 74. Like I said, second place for that, right? And at the last 10, 5 out of 5, 500. But they're playing amazing baseball. And you have the Dodgers right behind them where, you know, they should be on top. But, you know, what's a half a game here and there? And, you know, so the Dodgers having fun at home too. 10-2 at home, playing 500 on the road, scored 110 runs. You know, can you imagine? Look, the Dodgers scored 110 runs in 25 games. Chicago scored 156 runs in 25 games. That's a big difference in runs, man.
Yeah.
That's a big difference in runs. That's a serious offense. Hopefully, I'm thinking that's the type of offense the Mets have, but they haven't been able to put it together yet. But I'm thinking that that's the type of offense that the Mets have.
Yeah, like I said, the once Vientos,
yeah,
and Lindor get hot, man, and the Mets, if this is what you want, if you're the Mets, you want your pitching to stay the way they are, keep staying hot, keep performing well, and then Vientos and Lindor and Alvarez, who's coming back this week, do well. Yeah. Oh my goodness, forget it. The Mets will win that division in a heartbeat, and they could either be the 1 or 2 seed in the going into the playoffs.
Of course, easily. They'll get a week off. Yeah. No, they will. I mean, listen. I'm excited. I hope it happens. I hope that this is the team that can, you know, dethrone. But you know what's crazy? It'll be even crazier, right? If San Diego happens to take the Dodgers out of the division, right? And we end up having to fight San Diego for it all. And that'll be even crazier than having to fight the Dodgers. That means, I mean, we're seeing signs of the Dodgers, you know, not being, you know, all that, to say the least, all right? Like, all right, yeah, you have all these big name stars and, you know, you have the pitching and you have the greatest, you know, baseball player of all time or whatever, if you want to call them that. Mm-hmm. But look, man, there's other teams doing things too in different ways. And Chicago's beating you, you know. Let's see what happened over there.
Chicago has a good offense.
No, top of the ninth, the Dodgers are up to bat. Cubs are winning 7-6.
Well, I'm about to put that game on. Thanks
for I'm about to. Yeah, we're going to put it on right now. This is like a perfect example. The Phillies were able to beat the Dodgers in a series, right? Now we're seeing Chicago being able to do the same thing, back-to-back W's, you know what I'm saying, against the Dodgers. I love it. I love it. You know, I can't wait to see it. Did San Diego and the Dodgers play already? No, I don't think so.
Yes.
They did?
No. Against each other? I don't know.
I have to take a look at that. I'm going to take a look at that.
Top of the ninth. Oh, wow. This is great.
Yeah.
Take a look. Otani, baby.
Oh, I love it.
Otani with the bad swing. Ball in the dirt. And he knew. He said, damn it.
Let's take a look at that.
Hot garbage. Mookie Betts. You got to be careful. See, the Dodgers lineup is one of those divisions where teams where you just can't walk one or two guys and work around. You have to pitch to every single guy, because if you just walk everybody, you're screwed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, oh my God. The first thing that the San Diego Padres did this season, to start the season, you know what they did?
They beat up Atlanta.
Oh, no. They didn't beat up Atlanta. They swept Atlanta in a four-game series. That's what they did, okay? I just wanted to put that out there. And then, you know, they have not played the Dodgers yet, my friend.
To what? No. Oh, that's it. Game's over.
Game's over.
Cubs win 7-6.
Yeah, they have not played the Dodgers yet. That is super interesting.
That's gonna be great. That's a
good game. That's gonna be. Oh my God, that's gonna be the seat. The oh man. That's a good oh my game. God! Game. Look.
Cubs win.
Wow. When are they? Oh, wait a minute. No, not yet. Yo, they're not sure. What? Are you crazy? That's impossible.
Let me tell you something. Baseball.
Oh my God.
The Cubs are good, and when the Mets are good.
No, that's impossible. So you're telling me that the first series against the Dodgers
is not till when?
Is it in June? No way. Yeah, because they play twice in June. Yeah, they play twice in June, and then in July they probably play a whole lot too. Let me see. No, they don't play in July. They play in August or September, probably a whole lot. Let me see. When it comes down to it, it means something. Yep, they play in. Yep, they play in August, June, August. Oh yeah, they play a lot. June, August. They play four times in between those two, and then they probably play again at the end. Let me see. Yeah. So they haven't seen each other yet, but they will. So it's over. So see, Chicago is on fire right now. Chicago. So now, let's talk about this little debacle that happened with your subscribers, right, in Baltimore. Did you read about that?
Oh, the new Masson Plus, where you can
exactly
$19 for a month.
So yeah, basically the package was for the rest of the season, for the 140 whatever games left, right? The package was $89.99, right? But for some reason, some customers got charged $8,999.
I know. I was like, what?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, a little debacle there in Baltimore. Not only are the fans getting the shaft, you know what I'm saying? The team isn't, you know. You see?
I was smart. I got the MLB at bat. I got the MLB.TV with my buddy, Nathan. We split the package. So we each paid, $75 each, because he's a Pirates fan. And we get all the games, so it's not just the Pirates or just the Braves. I had to get the Braves subscription separately because but the Braves are blacked out. But I like watching all games. So if they did that, like, if they had that option in football where you could just only watch your teams, oh my gosh, that'd be great.
I would love that.
Doing that. Hey, it would be a lot cheaper than getting the NFL package. The NFL package is like $500, but it's
really man. I mean, but it's a business. You already know that. But if I could watch.
Baseball is so much cheaper. $150 for the year, you get all the, that's pretty great, man.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, but look how many games you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? So people feel like it's a steal because you're getting so many games. Steal.
Every day is a game.
Yeah, exactly.
You watch on, you know, football, you only can watch once a week.
Exactly. You know, or, you know, now, you know, you got those weekly games, you know, but whatever. Now, so let's talk about this too, all right? So we're talking about how pitching, right? You need pitching. The Mets have great pitching.
Braves San Diego, need pitching.
The Braves need pitching, right? So there's a lot of people, or teams, you know, that need pitching, right? And then you got San Diego, right? So they have Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease is leaving at the end of this year. So we don't know what they're going to do with that guy. Let's see what happens if they end up tanking and they don't look so good towards the trade deadline. Let's see what happens. Michael King is there as well. You know, they were kind of like rebuilding, you know, they have Luis Arraez, whatever his name is. That guy's a batting champion, you know. So, like, they have a lot of pieces that look really good. You know, Tatis, you know, Machado. So, and the thing about their pitching is crazy because, you know, they went out and they got this guy, Nick Pivetta, right? And Pivetta, you know, he has three games where he's gone seven innings scoreless, okay? Like, this is the record. He broke a record, bro, like, doing this. This is crazy, all right? So not only is Dylan Cease killing people out there, Michael King is killing people out there. Then Pivetta comes in, and he's doing crazy things like this, too. Of course, they have a great rotation as well, you know? It's going to be interesting to see, you know, when you start to see matchups and stuff like that, you know? I'm starting to see, you know, signs of, like, star potential with you know, Tyler McGill. You know, he's a big guy and he throws hard and he knows how to move his pitches. It's looking good.
Canning.
Yeah, Griffin Canning. Yeah, listen. No. None of them are sleepers. They're going out there and they're performing. They're performing. And, you know, people are starting to notice now because, you know, they've gone around a couple of times. A lot of those guys have already, they have four games under their belt, you know, so they're not going out there and getting lucky. They're showing that, you know, they can do this on a weekly basis. And this is what I'm talking about. They're consistent. And once it gets warmer, I'm pretty sure that they're going to extend themselves and they're going to be able to, you know, throw those seven innings. And once that happens, it's going to be really easy for Mendoza. The bullpen has been lights out. You know, I love the bullpen, except for Diaz. Diaz has been having a lot of trouble.
And now he might be hurt.
He might be hurt. We're going to figure it out, you know, after today's game. You know, they called it a balk, but then they said, oh, he was hurt, so they called the guy back to first, you know, little drama there. The Phillies and the Mets really hate each other right now. It's going to be crazy going down the stretch with the Phillies, and I'm pretty sure that it's going to come down to that. I don't think Atlanta has a shot at this moment. I think we're going to see a lot of bright stars come out of the Miami side, and we're going to see them, you know, have fun out there and win a lot of games. It's going to be different. You know, we're going to see Washington's pitching, you know, excel as well, and they're going to win some big games, and they're going to be, you know, breaking hearts out there towards the end of the season when they're villains. It's going to be fun to watch. But, yeah. We have the pitch of the week. And we're going to give that to Mr. Schoolball. You know, Mr. Schoolball, you know, we've been around for two seasons, and I'm pretty sure that Mr. Schoolball, he's been doing great for the last two seasons because he's been the pitcher of the week multiple times on our show for those two people out there listening, you know, and I'm pretty sure they agree, you know, but
two truckers,
you know, the two truckers going
from Midwest Kansas.
Exactly. But born and raised in the Bronx, and the other one was born and raised in Maryland, you know. So they're Baltimore Orioles fans and they're Mets fans. And they're like,
What a coincidence.
And I found this podcast with these two assholes that do this show. But Schoolball, like I said, you know, Detroit Tigers Schoolball, seven innings pitch, four hits, none earned, nine strikeouts. That was against Milwaukee, who was a pretty awesome team. But, you know, you understand that Detroit is playing really well as well, you know, really well. And let's see how long that lasts. I don't think that's going to be official like that. Last year, towards the end, they were fighting for a wild card slot. And, you know, this is the continuation of that. So let's see how that goes for them. And then, you know, we have a runner up here. You know, I'm going to throw him in there because he's my guy, you know, Mr. Canning, right? So Mr. Canning, Went against St. Louis. We swept those guys. 4-1, 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 earned, 8 strikeouts. He's doing amazing things. You know, these are guys that weren't doing so well last year, and now all of a sudden they're becoming household names in Queens. I live in the Bronx, so I'm going to say the Bronx too. I see those mad hats out there. And, you know, we have the hit of the week, who Lasha was very lazy about, you know, retrieving for us. But it's okay, though, because I have some guys here. You know, we got Ian Happ, you know. And I want you to tell them who Ian Happ. Exactly. Once again, here we go again. Past 5 games, batting .524, 11 for 21, 5 extra base hits and 6 runs. Pretty amazing, right? Then you have Francisco Lindor, okay, hitting .615, 8 for 13 with 3 homers, 6 RBIs, 6 runs in the past 3 games. This is crazy, okay? Like, you have to understand that these numbers are insane, all right? I mean, Alonso's numbers are insane. For those that, you know, didn't hear me the first time, I'm going to give you those numbers one more time. He's batting .349 with 6 home runs with 25 RBIs. I believe Mr. Judge has 25 RBIs as well. And this Alonso's crazy right now. 30 hits, 10 doubles, 11, and a triple. I saw him running for that triple. It was horrific. But you know what? He made it. He was safe. 14 walks, 15 Ks, bro. That's crazy. So there's Soto. Soto, .233, 3 home runs, 12 RBIs, right? And 20 hits, 5 doubles, 12 RBIs, like I said, 18 walks and 15 strikeouts. So the ratio is right. The ratio is right. He's projected to hit 20 home runs. That's it, brother. All right? In that slot, I guess. In that second hole slot, he's only projected to hit 20 home runs, 34 doubles, 135 hits, 122 walks, and 101 strikeouts. So you see, he's a piece that's being used in a completely different way than the Yankees used them. But it's working. It's different. What do you think about that? Do you think that's a little crazy? You think that he's not worth all that money to be just, you know, walking left and right and only hitting 20 home runs? And Peter capitalizing with 41 home runs and keeping the ball rolling and keeping the wheel going in a lineup that can continue to progress during that inning and produce after that?
Well, you already gave him the money, so there's nothing you can do about it. So
no, there is something you can do about it. You can totally change the lineup. No, there's something
you can move him around. Yeah,
you can move exactly
the bottom of the lineup or the middle of the lineup or at the top of the lineup. So you can move him. Maybe just needs a position change in the lineup.
Okay, so what happens? Okay, so are you willing to give up on
where's he now?
All the production, he's second. Lindor, Soto, Alonso.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. All right, with the production, right, that Alonso's coming through with right now at the moment, right? He's coming through hard. He's making numbers, you know, for that amount of money, he's producing, bro. So explain to me. So you're going to move Soto in the lineup and causing Alonso to not hit as well as he's hitting right now? Because that's the reason why he's hitting, because he's getting the pitches.
Well, no, what you do is you move Alonso up too. So if you move, what position is he in the lineup, Soto?
Who? Soto's second. So we got Lindor, we got Soto, and Alonso. Those three don't move.
You start off with Lindor, then Vientos, then you could do Soto 3-4, Alonso as your cleanup, and then go from there. Just move him down one.
Oh, no, sir. So if you're going to do that, you put Vientos
put him
second.
In the middle of the lineup, make him 4-5-6, or... Yeah, 4-5-6. Yeah, so that way he's the meat of the order, you know.
Okay, so that's so
you get
okay.
your big threat guy in the beginning, which is Lindor.
Yeah, Lindor.
And you put in like Vientos, you put in Nimmo or something. I'm just taking up or Alvarez, and then you go okay for Soto, Alonso, and then whatever, you know, go from there. You know what I mean?
Oh man, that's weird, but yeah, you know what? He would probably see. It depends on what he'll see. Depending, I know, I see what you're saying. Like, if those other guys start hitting, then you could do things like that. But for right now,
yeah.
You know,
now it seems like it's not working because
it is working, though. It's working because he's getting on base. He's getting on base.
But they didn't give him all that money to get on base. They gave him money to hit home runs. But it's okay.
No, but he's getting on base.
That produces runs, brother.
I'm sorry, but it's working. It's working in a different way. But it's
I'd
working.
Only change if it doesn't work. Is what I thought you were asking. Would you change it? if it's not if it ain't broke? Don't fix it. Leave it as is. If they realize they're starting to struggle, then maybe you could change them. But for now, leave them as is.
Okay, listen to this. All right, so between Soto and Alonso, you got 32 walks. How is it not working?
Yeah, and Alonso never got those type of
exactly, exactly. All right, and the fact that
the Soto effect.
Exactly, exactly. All right, and do you understand that they both have 15 strikeouts each? All right, so 30 strikeouts between those two monsters when they're getting on base for free, 32 times, right? And between them together, they have 37 RBIs in 25 games. I think it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's working. But, you know. All right. So, in between both of them together, they have 50 hits. You know?
Yeah.
15 doubles. Come on, man. It's working. It's working. But whatever. You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, you know, you have Mr. Judge. You know, Mr. Judge is batting because, you know, we have to compare Mr. Judge and Soto and how they're, you know. So, Mr. Judge is batting 411, all right? 7 home runs, 25 RBIs, all right? He doesn't miss Soto, bro. He's not missing Soto. And we'll continue to say that on a weekly basis, all right? But now, we're coming to the part of the day and podcast where we ask you a question and you try to answer it as best as possible.
So wait, can we go back for a minute?
Of course, why not?
So you know what's also helping? The guy that's batting behind Judge on the Yankees is Cody Bellinger. So he's a threat. He can hit home runs too. So it's not like, you know, they replaced Soto with some scrub. You know, now granted, Cody Bellinger's a little bit past his prime than he was
in Chicago. Yeah, I understand.
But he's still really good, and he puts so they're helping each other out. So, but the thing is the reason why Judge is having good numbers is because teams don't have the option to just walk Judge or walk Soto. They have to pitch to one, so now they're forced to pitch to Judge. You know what I mean? So that's going to cause the average to go up because most of the time he's probably going to hit. Even if he gets base hits, you know, everyone just thinks of Judge, oh, he's just a home run hitter, blah, blah, blah. Nah,
he hits it hard.
He hits it hard, and he's good about line drive hitters and all that stuff. So he's good. Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
Where I feel like Judge, I mean, where like Soto, he is more like a home run or nothing, but he does have tendencies in the season where he'll go on a streak where he gets a lot of good line drive, base hits, doubles, and he, you know, so Soto can get into it, but he's more of a home run hitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand that. I totally understand that. But Judge is a great player. And now, you know, what Lindor's doing, Lindor woke up early and Soto's like, wow, everybody's hitting except for me. You know what I'm saying? But don't worry about it. It's not fair, but it's going to happen, brother. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. Well, here we go. The question.
Oh, boy.
Can you name the players who played for both the Mets and Phillies in their careers? And now this is going to be crazy because I kind of see a pattern here and it's funny, but we'll talk about that pattern in a second. All right. So I want you to name. There's 10 of them. I have 10 of them here. I want you to name as many as you can. All right. And they don't have to be in any order.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, uh-huh. So you want me to guess? Okay, I only know 3 guys. Billy Wagner.
That's definitely one.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, the different. Yeah, he played for the Phillies first from 04 to 05, and then he came to the Mets for 3 seasons from 6 to 9. So, yeah.
The other one.
Well, and he was great for the Mets. I kind of liked Billy when he was with the Mets. And, you know, that was I like that. It wasn't that bad. I usually, you know, don't like the Phillies at all. And I don't like their players. But whatever. That's just for me. I'm a divisional guy, you know. That's my division. So I don't like that guy. I don't like those guys. But go ahead. Name another guy.
And then the other 2 guys are currently on the Braves. On the Phillies. Zach Wheeler, the pitcher, and what's in Taiwan? Yeah, Taiwan Walker.
Taiwan Walker, you know what? Taiwan Walker didn't even make the list, did he? No, he didn't make the list because he wasn't.
Yeah, he's just
but,
the only two I know.
Yeah, but he's there. He's there. You're right.
So
but
who am I missing?
All right, so we have a lot of nice ones here. Check this out. So let's give you Pedro Martinez. I didn't even know this, which is kind of weird.
About, yes, that's
yes.
Right. Yes.
So he played for the Mets from 2005 to 8, right? And then he went to the Phillies for 1 year in 2009 with the Phillies.
Wait, that's the year they won the chip, right? They beat the Yankees? No, the Yankees won that.
The Yankees won that one. The Yankees won that one because that was the stadium first opened. Yeah.
Yes, I forgot about Pedro. Good.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? And then another big one is Lenny Dykstra. So he played with the Mets 85 to 89. We won a championship with him. And then he went to the Phillies from 90 to 96. Okay, so he had a good run. You know, he ran on both sides for a while. So that was crazy, right? Because I love Dykstra. And then, another big one, you know, Jerry Kuzman. That's crazy.
What year did Kuzman play?
He played from 67 to 78, right? And then he played with the Phillies from 84 to 85, for 1 year. So, but that's crazy that he went over there. Bobby Abreu, I remember him. He used to play for the Phillies from 98 to 2006. Then he went to the Mets in 2014 for 1 year.
And he played
one year.
The Yankees too.
But yeah, that's right.
Bobby Abreu was more known for the Phillies because most of his career was with the Phillies. He came up with it, and he was good over there.
He was good.
He had a
better
career with the Phillies than the Mets, but and he played 1 or 2 years with the Yankees, and that was the end of his career, I think.
Another big one for me that I had no idea about this, right? So Sid Fernandez, right, who was one of the big guys for us in the '86 series as well. That's crazy. He was with the Mets from 84 to 93, and then he played for the Phillies from 95 to 96, 1 year. But that's crazy. I didn't know that. Greg Jeffries,
What's his last name? What was the name?
Greg Jeffries. You don't remember that guy from 87 to 91 with the Mets? And then he played for the Phillies from 95 to 98.
Position player or pitcher?
Yeah, I think he was position player, if I remember correctly. This is say he will.
I was a little baby, so I don't remember.
Yeah, Tug McGraw, which is another crazy one. I didn't mention that one, right? Tug McGraw. It was 65 to 74, then 75 to 84.
Is that Tim McGraw's brother?
I guess so. I don't know. We have to look that up, but that's crazy,
you know,
right?
Talk about the
Yeah, of course. Yes, of course. Hilarious. So this is funny, yo. I can't believe it. So yeah, that's what we got. All right, so I thought it was an interesting episode. You know, we talked about a lot about pitching and we're showing you stats and numbers where, you know, showing that pitching is important based on what the records are at this point in the season. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. Have fun with it. And, you know, last year's going to be okay, hopefully. You know, we're going to say it's going to be okay, but we don't really know that. I think that if you guys don't move fast, things are going to fall apart like they are as we speak. And
I'm not going to worry. They're still... You know, they're only, five games under 500. It's a month and a half into the season, not even.
Yeah.
April 31st will be a month, or April 28th will be a month. So, yeah, if you're panicking, see, this is the problem with fans. We live in the moment, and so we start panicking like crazy. Sell the team. I remember last year we did this with the Mets. I said
sell the team.
Sell the team.
Yeah, you did with the Mets. You were trying to sell
it. Because we're not going to re-sign him, and look where we are now. Boom.
Yeah.
So we were both wrong. So
I hope
I'm wrong.
Ah, man, I was wrong about everything.
I'm not going to hit the button yet. It's at the All-Star game, then I'll hit the button, you know? But for now, no.
Not for
and
you.
As far as the Braves go, they had a quick recap on the Braves. They had a six-game homestand. They went 5-1. They swept the Twins and took 2 out of 3 from St. Louis Cardinals, who the Mets just played as well. So St. Louis is right up there with Milwaukee. Those two are gonna fight it out in the NL Central, but
St. Louis is a good team.
Yeah, they're a tough team. They're tough it out, but we took that, so which is good. So now I think we go to Arizona next. You guys go to Washington,
mm-hmm.
And then from Arizona we go to Braves go next. But they got a little mini road trip. But either way, it was a really good homestand. They pitched well, but most importantly, they got runs at key important times. Riley came through a couple of times, and Nick Allen, who's like a no name guy, he's their second baseman. He played well, which was good. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm not ready to say the Braves are out of the woods yet. I think they still have pitching issues. Their closer's got awful. He came in yesterday, and he's not consistent. He's not reliable. But for now, they go on the road. So we'll see how they do on the road.
Yeah, we have something interesting going on too. We have Washington for 4 games, right? And after that, we start playing big teams, right? So we got Arizona test coming up, all right? And then, after Arizona, that's at home though. So, and then we have to go to St. Louis, whip them up again, for 3 games. And then we have to play Arizona again, So it's going to be interesting. A lot of Arizona, like really close games, in between we have St. Louis. So it's going to be, a good fight. Once they get to learn our pitching, we get to learn theirs. It's going to be a fight. And then after that, the big test, we have Chicago coming to Citi Field, right, for a 3-game series. And so the Arizona test, the Chicago test, those are, and then after that, Pittsburgh, who cares, right? And then the Yankee test, then the Boston test, and then the Dodger test. Okay, so the month of May for the Mets is going to be very, very interesting, okay? Because we're going to see if we really have what it takes. All right? Arizona, 7-6 times. Boston, the Yankees, Chicago Cubs. We have some problems coming. And we're going to see how we do. But that's the end of the show. You guys have a good night.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Peace, brother.
See y'all next week. Laters.